Hello, and welcome to the Earthly Roots podcast,
where we chat all things gardening, homesteading, and connecting to nature.
We're your hosts, Diane and Robin.
The Earthly Roots podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Hello and welcome back to the Earthly Roots podcast. We are so excited to spend another day just chatting away with you all. And before we get into the episode, I did just want to say, if you haven't already checked it out, go head over to our Instagram page where we will make sure to spend lots of time adding some good photos and videos of some behind the scenes things so you guys can connect with us and also check those out. We often leave it till the end, so I thought let's just jump in and put it right out there.
Yeah, add it in now. We'll definitely, by the time this goes out, we'll be a little bit more active on there and be posting a few things. So yeah, definitely make sure to check it out. It's also great for you to interact with us and let us know like what kind of podcast you like to see slash listen to, and we can definitely make them once we know.
Yeah, and I think it would just be a good habit to get into asking you guys some questions so that we can maybe tailor an episode or two directly to your questions and what you want to see as well. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Today we're talking all about bus life. I'm sure you've heard it a few times from me and you're always inquisitive. So yes, my partner and I, Sam and I, are converting a bus into a tiny home, which is a working bus, which we plan on traveling around Australia in less than 10 months.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's so scary and so surreal to see this little dream actualize itself into like reality.
Yeah. It's definitely happening fast and you've not got a lot of time left, but
fast and slow at the same time. I must say that there are definitely moments where we feel like we're kicking goals and things are moving really quickly and we've got project after project and getting things done. And then other times where we feel like we're kind of like sitting, and it's just because certain jobs are quite tedious and do just need a lot of time, patience, or just like to be reworked until they're finished. Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited to chat through the project, the decision, why. Just kind of dream.
Yeah, I'm super excited to hear your take on it all. And I know I personally have a lot of questions because it's not something I particularly, I can't see myself doing.
It's definitely a different lifestyle.
It is. Yeah. But I am super interested in it. Like one of the like videos that I love to watch on YouTube, the categories, all of like the van life vlogs. And I don't know, I kind of romanticize that thought of just traveling around in a van, but I feel like you're taking it one step further in that it's actually going to be your full-time home.
Yeah.
A lot of people have, you know, like bases that they come back to and just do traveling here and there, but you're fully converting a bus, which didn't look like a home before.
No, not at all.
Into a home.
I mean, this is just a standard coach that would normally have seats all the way along to the end with like a bench at the back and a driver's seat at the front. It's not one of your city buses with like the poles and the buttons. It's more,
it's more like a highway coach bus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's one of those buses that you probably would have taken like to a school excursion or something like that.
There's a few geese in the background, so you'll have to bear with us on that, but they shouldn't be too loud. They're just adding to the homestead
vibe. Ambience of the farm.
Exactly.
Like we're converting it into a house which we plan on using as our house. So though we plan to travel in it for, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe longer, maybe shorter, eventually once we finish that trip, we hope to settle down on a block of land once again and then live on the bus permanently until we need to upgrade to a bigger space. But for Sam and I, we don't need a lot of space. And even this house that we're in right now is just a two-bedroom sized home. And that's plenty of space for us. And the bus will allow us to have our own sections as well as being able to just go outside if we need extra space. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a great size.
Yeah, I think it's, I'm really excited to see how it's going to pan out and to have your like design flair come in as well, because I know you're designing a lot. And I think one thing we'll touch on this episode is, although I'm not doing the bus journey, but something that you can. I was there from the beginning.
She actually was. Like, the first time Robin and I met was, well, no, I mean, we met through YouTube in a way, but the first time we actually got to hang out together in your garden was when Sam was getting his bus license, and it was just a great opportunity because it was just an hour out from you guys. Yeah. And I was like, hey, do you want some company for a bit? I need a babysitter.
Yeah, no, that was really fun. Yeah, but I think something that you can probably, and our audience can also relate to, is the journey that you've gone on this massive endeavor with your partner as well. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of touch on like how you've felt communicating with Sam about all the different jobs, and it's such, whether you're building a house, like a physical standalone house on ground, or a bus that's being your home, the tensions with partners can be a lot. And I feel like it'd be good to chat about that as well throughout the episode. So we'll kind of touch on that.
I often say that like taking on a project like the bus has meant that Sam and I have gone through like 10, 20 years of arguments in the space of like a year, because there's just so much problem solving you need to do together, and just learning how to communicate and get your message across in a way where you're not offending them, but at the same time getting a task done and moving forward. Yeah. So yeah, that'll definitely come up later on, I'm sure.
Well, maybe we can step back quite a bit to the beginning for you guys and take back to the beginning. When did you first decide that you wanted to transition your life into bus life? Mm-hmm. And what was the very initial first steps that you took to going down this pathway?
Yeah, so it's really funny. 8 years ago, we were looking at building a tiny home. Like, that's where it really began. And that's also when we started like researching homesteading and all those kinds of things. But as we started looking into tiny homes more, we realized that it was a bigger dream than we could actualize, because you needed a big enough trailer. You then needed to build everything on top of that. And then you needed also a car that could tow that. True. And so very quickly that became an unmanageable goal, or just a huge expense that we couldn't afford. So slowly we moved away from that. We delved into like yurts and thinking about that, and eventually ended up here 3 years ago. And then I don't know, maybe 2 years ago now, I would say, we started to be exposed more and more to, you know, van life and bus life. And I guess it would have happened like just after COVID, when a lot of people were locked away from from their businesses and locked at home. And so this was almost like the only way that people could travel during that time. And I think that's why it became such a huge movement. And the funny thing is even though we considered tiny homes 8 years ago, a bus never entered our minds. Like, it wasn't even something we considered. But anyways, when it became like something that could be possible, we delved right into looking into it. And I know I've been asked the question a lot of, why not a caravan or a standard motorhome, one that's already built?
Next question.
One that's already built. It's all done. You just get into it and go. And I mean, my mum was the first one to ask this question. And the reason I gave to her is because we can customize the bus to be exactly what we need it to be. It has the spaces that we need. It looks the way we need. We can flow through the space the way that we want. Like, we want a big kitchen, and a caravan and a motorhome doesn't always have that. We, you know, want a decent sized bathroom, but we don't need a lot of bedroom space. And so we can decide the layout on the bus and how it looks. And I think that really appealed to us. But not only that, like, the process of building something from scratch really appealed to us. Like, that that desire to build our own home and get our hands into it was also really exciting. So yeah, I think that was the reason we diverted away from caravans and motorhomes. More space, more flexibility with how you use it, and then just being able to achieve and actualize the build ourselves and be able to share it on YouTube or with our family and friends, as opposed to just getting something that's already done.
Yeah. I suppose it's more like a home then. Like when you do find your forever piece of land or where you want to kind of settle for a bit longer, you've then got the infrastructure to just start living there straight away. Yeah. A caravan can be kind of tricky with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a bus is a good size. It's definitely much bigger, like in person, I feel.
Yeah, it's huge.
I don't know. Yeah.
So our bus is actually 30 feet long. Yeah. I think 12.5 meters in metric terms. And I don't know how high it is, but inside the bus, I think it's 1.90 meters or 1.95 meters, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's enough for Sam to have maybe like 10 centimeters or so above his head if he's lucky. Now that we're building in the walls and the ceiling, like as the floors and the ceiling, it's closing him in.
Yeah, it's comfortable but, though. Like when I was walking through there, I get a little bit of claustrophobia with small spaces, but I felt perfectly comfortable in the caravans. And I just feel like they're a little small.
They are a bit small, definitely. Yeah. And like that's the whole point of them. They're supposed to be small and compact because you only go onto them, you know, for temporary reasons while we want to live full time in our bus.
Yeah.
And so that's where building it out allows us to, you know, customize it so that it's comfortable to live full time, because we have three dogs. We've got a cat. Mm. There's Sam and I, who have completely different sleeping schedules, and all of that needs to come into account when we're building out a space like that. Yeah. But we're super excited.
Yeah.
So let me talk you through why we picked this bus in particular.
Yes.
I think that's a good place
and
to go
first. And maybe like where you bought it from. And
where?
Yeah. Okay. And like, I'm just thinking, if I wanted to buy something like this, like how would I even start?
I'm going to convince you, aren't I? I'm going to get a bus next week.
I mean, I would love to have land and then like have some kind of tiny home or tiny house. So I'm interested.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, do you go on like Marketplace or is there places to look at these kinds of buses? Where do you kind of start?
Yeah. So once we decided to get a bus, we were on Facebook and Gumtree as well, searching up, you know, like buses for conversion or, you know, like bus for sale. There's a lot of areas that have school buses that have been retired. Mm-hmm. And so school buses are really good because they get serviced yearly. They have to be. So that means they're really mechanically sound. And when they're out of service, let's say because the bus company is upgrading all their buses or a new rule has come in where, you know, they all need seat belts and previously they didn't, those are the buses you'll end up getting for your conversion. So Marketplace has a lot of them. Facebook has a lot of like bus conversion groups where people sell theirs. And when we started looking, there were a couple of buses in our area and then a couple of buses further out. And the bus we ended up getting, which was perfect for us, was an hour out from you, which is actually 5 hours away from us. And that was closer up to Sydney.
Yeah.
And this particular person that we bought the bus from, he had bought it for his family to convert themselves, but they had young children. And so I think they didn't quite realize how big of a job it was going to be. And they just ran out of money before they really started the project. So we ended up getting the bus from them and it was partially demolished. So it didn't have the seats in it. They started taking off some of the walls and I think that was about it. Mm-hmm. That was all they really did. So yeah, we picked this bus in particular over others because it has the underground storage. So it has storage bins, which was awesome for us. That's going to be really handy for things like solar and for gas bottles and storage in general. We also like the head height. So Sam's a very tall fella. And a lot of like coaster buses, which are normally what people convert, will end up with Sam walking like this and that's not really comfy. So that height was really important for us. The 12.5 meters also means that Sam can drive it on a medium rigid license as opposed to having to upgrade to the next license up to drive it. Why else did we pick this particular bus? I think the engine is also really good.
Okay.
So it's a Dennings engine, which is really easy to repair. A lot of mechanics in the area know how to work that, because there's buses and trucks that have the same engine types. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're about to go on a year-long trip where it's most likely to break down every now and again or very often, you want to be able to fix it easily. So that also came into our decision making.
Yeah. And is it petrol or diesel?
It's diesel. It guzzles diesel. Yeah. I mean, the first time we had to fill it up was so painful. I remember watching the meter tick as Sam was filling it up, and it was at like $600. Oh, wow. And I mean, that we still have that petrol sitting in our bus, and it lasted us a really long time. But just to see that kind of money come out was brutal.
That's in place of rent, I suppose.
Exactly. And that's something we have to consider as well as we drive, is we don't want to be driving through the country too quick.
Yeah.
We kind of want to pace it so that the fuel money ends up being like our rent for the month, so that we're not, you know, spending $600 a week or a day, because that would be insane.
Yeah.
I don't think it goes through it that quick, but I mean, I don't personally know.
Yeah. So in terms of money, do you want to share like around how much you paid for it, just to get a bit of an interest, or how much, like, what's the kind of range for these kind of buses? Because it was partially demolished, so does that have an impact on the price or
not really? Because it had a hole in it, so if anything, like, we probably weren't supposed to drive it at that point. But so our bus was $14,000, which US dollars, I think that's like $8,000 or so, because I know that at least when I'm looking at bus conversions on YouTube, a lot of the time they'll be like, oh, it was $3,000, $4,000 US dollars, and I'm like, that sounds like so little in comparison. But when you do the conversion, like, it's pretty much the same price that we've paid. So $14,000 for the bus. A lot of buses, especially the smaller ones, go for like $30,000 to $40,000.
Okay.
So compared to that, like, we're laughing at $14,000.
Yeah.
But yeah, the amount really varies. Like, some people put up their bus for $9,000, $10,000 is probably the lowest I've seen it in Australia. And then other people put their buses up for, you know, when they've just come out of service and they're, you know, a 2017 model, they usually go for like $80,000 or more. But, and I mean, look, if you've got that money there to invest in a home like that is great. But of course, our budget doesn't allow for that. $14,000 was already a lot for us.
Yeah. And so you're doing this all like debt-free, aren't you? You're not taking out loans.
Well, we did have the money sitting there to buy the bus, and that's how we bought it to begin with. But we did end up taking out an interest-free loan just so that we had that extra money sitting there to be able to build with.
That's smart.
Well, we are paying for our wedding at the same time as converting a bus, as well as living and, you know, paying for a home. So, just having that extra security allowed us to kind of get started without feeling like overwhelmed by it all. Because I think at the time when we bought the bus, we still had our sheep, and there was a few big things that we had to purchase back then, so definitely needed that extra little bit of money to boost us in the right direction. Especially like looking into solar systems, so expensive. Like, that's been one of the most overwhelming things to try to research for the bus conversion, is the fact that solar panels, inverter, batteries, all of that is going to come to like $5,000 at least. And that's just to be able to power ourselves off grid.
Well, I suppose it's, but that compared to a house though, you've always got to kind of compare it to that, and it's not as much nearly. So a while ago we did an episode all about like alternative living and tiny homes and permaculture villages and things like that.
I love that episode.
It's a really good episode. I feel like we should touch more on like permaculture eco-villages again in the future, because
I'd love to stay in some on our trip, I must say.
But what I wanted to ask, and maybe if you want to chat a little bit about why you decided to do bus life, like, why not stay here and buy a house and do what everyone else is doing. And just like live that dream.
Well, in a way that kind of answers it all in itself. Like, I think we are just a bit alternative when it comes to our life anyways. We've always moved through rentals. Like, staying in one place has always been a challenge in a way. Like, it's nice to set down roots, but at the same time, like, that uncertainty and that change is really thrilling. But our main reason for picking Bus Life, I guess, is just the cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, renting is getting more and more expensive. People's rent has gone up, and ours has too, by $50, you know, a week. So it's becoming less and less affordable to be able to rent. And as far as getting a deposit on a house or like paying off mortgage, I mean, interest rates are through the roof and there's still those checklists of, you know, if you want a loan, like you've got to do all these different things. And so I guess for a while we were thinking that we would buy land first and build second. But in reality, what we're doing now is instead of waiting for the house prices to drop down or waiting for the banks to give us a loan, instead we're building our home first. We'll get to travel in it. We'll get to experience life. And then one day, hopefully we'll be able to purchase land if it becomes less expensive or if we are able to find a more affordable place to buy it in. But yeah, that was the main motivator. But the more we looked into it, like the idea of traveling with our home on our back wherever we went is brilliant.
Yeah, it's like, so cool.
Yeah, we love traveling. We love experiencing new things and, you know, being able to be like, okay, I'm tired now, I'm gonna go sleep in my own bed, which is right here behind me, is just, it's brilliant. Like, I think it's going to be a life that we really enjoy a lot more than we realized we would. But yeah, I mean, I'll let you know in a year's time what that's actually like.
I'll be
like.
Following along with all the videos. I would love to be like that, but I know myself and I'm like such a homebody and that being like the garden as well. I just feel like, I don't know. I traveled a lot as a child. That's what I'm trying to say. I feel like I've done a lot of traveling and I've always wanted to like set roots down in one spot. So that's kind of like why we're doing, you know, the opposite by trying to find land first. Still looking into like alternative living and that kind of thing. But yeah, I always find it so interesting what you're doing.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing, that we are technically setting roots, except the roots are moving along with us. I mean, you could say it's like a pot plant that you can take with you anywhere. You still have it.
A big one.
A very large one. Yeah. I've heard of people talking about Bus Life being like, you know how backpackers live out of their backpack? It's like your backpack has just become really large.
Taking the whole thing. Yeah.
Bring the animals and the bed and the couch with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm super excited. So right now we're in the process of building out our bus and that's come with a lot of like learning and a lot of new skills learned, as well as just reimagining what we can do and how we can do it in a different way to achieve goals on the bus. So yeah, that's been lots of fun. I mean, at the moment we're still at the stage where we've just finished off a lot of the things underneath the bus and we're now building into the bus, which is so exciting because after like almost a year of demolition and just fixing rust and like doing all these little things like sealing windows that, you know, has a huge effect because it's making the bus waterproof and sturdier. It feels nice to know that now we're building in floors, and soon after the floors will come walls, and then the solar panels are going on. And I feel like we're at the stage now where things are just going to move faster and faster.
Yeah, setting those foundations down is always the slow part with any kind of house building. And it's not the funnest. It's not the most fun part.
No, and it's actually been really challenging. I'll be honest.
Yeah, you've mentioned that a few times. Yeah, and I feel, did that kind of come from you maybe not knowing how to do things or meeting regulations, or like what was, like what, how did the challenges happen? Because I feel like with a house build, you often have someone in charge, but you're literally doing everything else, like everything.
So we're project managing as well as actually doing the build and checking on regulations to make sure we're doing everything the right way. So we have an engineer that we can contact with any questions that we have. But New South Wales is also really good. They have like this PDF document that outlines all of the things that you need to include to convert the bus into a motorhome and have it qualify. And then at the end of the process, you need to get a certification from the engineer and then be able to actually apply for the permit change.
Okay, so it's technically a motorhome, not a tiny home.
No.
Which is different. Well, even a
tiny home would be like a motorhome.
Okay.
So they're all classed as mobile dwellings because you can move them. And so that means as far as restrictions and things goes, you can only stay in one single location for 3 months at a time.
Okay.
Is the idea behind it. A lot of people kind of bend this rule because they'll have a property and they'll just say that they've moved to a different spot or things like that. And there's ways around it because they can also be classed as granny flats. And like, if you really look into permits and councils and all of that, you can find loopholes. And even with our yurts, we had to do things like that when we were looking into that, I mean.
Yeah. Do you intend to stay longer than 3 months in an area, or you want to pretty much travel? Well, yeah, when you like buy your
own property,
Yeah. But when you're doing the traveling, is you just want to do like a week here, a week there kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's the fun of it, because it'll allow us to actually explore more and be able to move around. Yeah. So we're not too worried about that. But yeah, we're following all of the different regulations as far as how to build our project goes.
Yeah.
I think the overwhelm, or like the challenging, like the feelings of being over-challenged, have more so come from just doing the little tedious jobs and not really seeing them. Like, it's not huge changes, and that can sometimes feel really overwhelming when you've got this massive project ahead of you and feeling like you're chipping away at it and you're trying and you're doing your best and like not really seeing those results. And like, I think we both, like Sam and I, have both kind of known that that would be kind of the case, and the demolition can be a bit brutal as well, because you're demolishing as opposed to building when you want to build.
Well, I suppose you and Sam are also not doing this full time as well. Mm. Like, you're not just building the bus. You also have jobs, and Sam goes away for work as well, and you do the YouTube. So it would be hard, I suppose, when you've got to do, like, people watching YouTube want to be like, oh, I want a bus update. And then it might not look different, but in reality, you have actually done a lot.
Yeah. And in a way, I think YouTube also adds to the challenge, at least for Sam it does, because a lot of what we build or what we show is public, and that's open to scrutiny or to opinion. And I mean, Sam really does struggle with the fact that, you know, it's not a people pleaser, but like, he doesn't want to step in the wrong way or to be told that he's doing something wrong, or, you know, so there's kind of like that uncertainty of, am I doing it right? Am I going to get negative criticism for this? Like, and that has really been like a block for him personally. I'd love to get him on to actually talk through how he's been feeling in the process, because he and I have been feeling very differently in it all. And I think in a way, a lot more pressure is being put on him, because he's the one building it. He's got like the skills in construction and, you know, like that basic understanding. But there's a lot of things that he's also doing that are completely new, and things that he's never done before that he's got to research and then hope that he's doing it the right way, because otherwise he has to rip it apart and do it again. And there's been those moments in the process as well. While for me, I'm kind of on the back foot for now, and I'm more so, you know, project managing or helping him out where I can, or just envisioning the next part or purchasing the things we need. But I'm not so much involved in the building part yet. And I think I'll be more involved in it once we start doing like cabinetry and things inside of the bus. But as far as like putting water tanks in and drilling holes into metal, like,
I have no idea.
I don't have the strength to do that. So yeah, I guess my role for the last little while has been more as like a support and just being there mentally and physically for Sam as he needs me. You know, purchasing things, planning out, budgeting for the bus, kind of checking in with him to see what our next part would be. And his role has really been like the building side of things. And I know that it's not just converting a bus that allows both partners to have different roles, like homesteading, gardening. There's always going to be two roles for partners or for whoever's working on it.
Yeah, I feel like he tends to thrive off like positive reinforcement as well.
Yeah, it does, definitely.
It's hard when you are putting that out on the internet because the internet doesn't actually see the full story.
But no one's being negative. It's just that idea that if I step in the wrong way, someone could say
something. Which kind of like automatically like kind of sometimes can diminish a lot of the positivity rather than having people here being like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Like, that's so incredibly talented what you've done, which is, difficult because he's just kind of doing it by himself.
Yeah. And I think he's also from that same mindset, or like he grew up where you don't ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you know how to do it and you get it done. And so, and he's good at asking for help, but I think in the back of his brain, it's kind of like that block that really prevents him from just going and approaching someone for help, or like asking for advice, or noticing if he's done something wrong and fixing it. Like his brain just doesn't allow him to do that, which is fine, but it's just been that challenge that we've kind of had to overcome.
Yeah. So in terms of like communication wise, have you had any like big roadblocks about communication, or has anything kind of, I don't know, do you fight a lot is basically what I'm trying to ask, because when Scott and
tell
I were setting up
the scenes.
Exactly, like when Scott and I were trying to do this flower farm, setting everything up, we were definitely having bickering, and we've since gotten a little bit better about that, but like you just see all of those house flipping shows, you know, when they just like get into really big arguments about the color of something or whatever, and I can just see it if you're not on the same page, like that's just a recipe for disaster in terms of communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of those moments when we first started homesteading, like 3 years ago when we first moved onto this block and we started working together, like we butted heads so much. There'd be moments where like we'd both have a vision of how a project will get done and we'd both be trying to communicate it but not able to express in the right words. Like I personally can explain a lot better if I can show it. While Sam likes to explain it in his way, but sometimes like it doesn't click for me because I don't have the lingo that he's using. And so like you both get really frustrated, and like there's been moments where I like storm off and we don't talk for the rest of the day, and then you know, we come back together and we're like, okay, well, you know, I noticed I did this wrong and I was trying to get this thing out. And as far as the bus goes, there's been less of those moments, but still they're there very often. I mean, the best advice that I can give that's worked for us is just to communicate and laugh through the problems. So there'll be a lot of moments where, you know, it's frustrating because something's not working the way you think it will, or like, you know, just things aren't going right. And either Sam or I tend to get like really upset by that or let it overwhelm us. And like if one of us just laughs through it, or like, you know, patiently just does the thing that's not working. Like a lot of the time for Sam, he'll get like really hot-headed because something's not going right and he's like trying to jam it in, and then I'll just be like, you know, he'll flip out and he'll like storm off to go and cool off and you know, think about the problem and how to approach it, and I'm like, I'll just try this one little thing, and then it works out, and I'm like, look, I just did it a different way. And and it's just part of like when you're working with other people, being open to listening to the other ways to do things, because oftentimes we get so sidetracked, or like we see one solution to a problem and it's so hard to accept another one until you've tried your yours out. And so we've had a lot of moments where it's just like you flip your lid and you have to leave and just cool off for a bit before approaching again. But yeah, it's been a journey. It's been fun.
Does it feel ever like you feel like you might not be doing enough sometimes when he's doing a lot of the physical build, and like you are doing a lot, you're doing a lot of the designing and everything else, and you have plans to decorate and do kind of the last few steps. How do you kind of manage that? Does he ever ask you to do certain things and you don't want to do it, or?
Not necessarily. I mean, he definitely gives me jobs that I can manage. And that's the thing. Like, he'll always, you know, let me know of the next few jobs, and then I can kind of decide what I can physically or can or can't do. But there's never been projects where I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, you know, I have had some awful jobs, like having to deal with the rust or like pick off all of like the rubber. But at the same time, I know that that's something I can manage and do, and I can do it, let's say, like after work or on the weekends when I am at home. So it's not going to take up too much of my time, and I can kind of chip away at it as I want to. And I've honestly only just finished doing the rust then after doing it for a year almost. Yeah, wow. And the rubber as well, because it's one of those tedious jobs that, like, I thrive on variety. I've said that earlier in the episode, but that's why I'm a teacher. Like, every single day is completely different. Every lesson is different. Every moment is different. Yeah. So trying to do one thing for a long period of time, like scraping off rubber, is really like, my brain's not being worked, and I think I just can't focus on doing it long.
Yeah.
But the other day we both went into the bus and we're like, okay, we're just going to finish off all of these little jobs that are piling up because we haven't been bothered like finishing them off, and we're just going to get them done. And that was honestly one of the best days we've had in the bus, is just chipping away at like the little shitty jobs that you just don't want to be doing and just getting it done. And it was so satisfying at the end, seeing those done and knowing we can now move forward. But as far as the building goes, like, there's a lot of things I can do. Like, I can drill. I can, you know, like, there's a lot that I can do. It's just that currently it makes sense for him to do it because he knows what he's doing, and it's easier for him to get it done than to explain to me how to do it. And I'll just support, you know, by like holding things up or lifting and moving things if need be, or like checking that everything's going the right way. And I think once we move into building in the bus, like framing it up,
painting inside, walls, decorating,
but even just putting the cabinetry together, or like putting insulation in at the moment is something that we're doing. That's something we can both do. And and I'm loving learning all the new skills. I've always loved learning how to build our garden beds, or, you know, different projects like tables and boxes. Like, so far I've only kept to like the squares because that's nice and easy. So the bus is going to be a challenge with its curves. But with every new skill, like, I'm just loving adding it into my repertoire and just imagining what else I can build after that. You know, like, I've never had to deal with rust before. And now I know how. I've never had to put insulation into a space before, and now I know how. So yeah, it's really cool. I'm excited for the for the journey ahead.
I wish I had that, like, I don't know, desire to build things, or I just, like, I don't know, it's just not
you
in me.
You might one day, like, you want to renovate.
Yeah, but I kind of want other people to renovate.
Fair enough.
I like to stick to the garden and, just have free reign there. But
No, I'm really loving it. And I think, just being able to see the dream slowly actualize into reality is really exciting. Like, and I think it's just going to become more and more real as we go. And, just knowing that at the end of the year we're going to be in that bus no matter what. Is great. Like, it's great motivation to just kick us into gear and get going.
So you've kind of started, and I know you've kind of posted a little bit about this on Instagram and YouTube, of all of the downsizing that you're doing and kind of minimizing different things in the house, and obviously all of your animals as well. What's the major things that you're getting rid of, and are you kind of keeping any of the furniture in your house, because you do have a little bit more space than like a caravan? What are you kind of keeping and what are you taking? What are you getting rid of?
So we're trying to repurpose as much as we can. So we have a lot of pallets that we've collected over the years, that we plan on using the wood for like walls and things like that on the inside. Same thing goes with like corrugated iron and things like that. But as far as furniture from the house, we're trying to use as much as we can as well. I've talked about in a previous episode that we've invested a lot of money into the furniture that we have. And so being able to repurpose it and use it on the bus will be really great. So like our couch, we're planning on bringing that onto the bus and building storage around it. Our mattress can also come onto the bus. A lot of our furniture is like IKEA furniture, so I feel like I'll just sell it because it's a lot easier, and then we'll just build things into the bus as far as storage goes. Fridge, we're most likely keeping our fridge. And then as far as like all our kitchen gadgets and plates and cups, I've been trying to minimize it down to four of each. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, two for Sam and I and then two for guests, which that's been a bit of a challenge because as I'm reducing like knives, forks, plates, spoons, it's causing us to have to wash the dishes more often because we're running out much faster. But it's been good. Like we're trying to do it a bit at a time. And I know like in 8 months time, when we're getting closer and closer to the end of the year, I'll just be putting everything up on Facebook Marketplace and getting it out of here. So far, I've just been getting rid of things that have been sitting in the shipping container as storage, putting things into the op shop as well if they're not worth selling or they're really little.
Yeah.
And yeah, so trying to keep as much as we can as it is because we don't have a lot of things anyways. But then anything extra or things that we can just build into the bus, we're just seling off.
Cool. I suppose one other thing was, what are you going to do with your cars? Because I know you've mentioned what you are going to do alternatively.
Yeah.
Because you'll just have the bus and obviously that can't get into really small spaces like, you know, parking, you know, in small streets and things like that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do instead?
So I would love to be able to tow a car behind the bus, but I don't think we can on the license that Sam has. So the little Astra is probably going to go and stay with family while we're traveling. Sam's ute we're most likely going to sell.
Okay.
And then we're getting some electric bikes to go along with the bus. So that way...
Exciting.
Yes, I know. So that way, like, we can park up at, like, a caravan park or on someone's homestead or, you know, wherever we can go and then use the bikes to get into town or to travel around. That way we can recharge them with solar power. We're not having to use fuel to travel around on the bus too much. And then we're not trying to get into little tiny streets with a massive bus.
I know. I watched the vlog of you guys, of Sam driving it down and when it hit all those like roundabouts and the bridges.
He was so worried about
it. I would have been so nervous.
And that was like his first time driving a bus as well. Yeah. So he was just petrified.
He did so good.
There was a point because I was behind him the whole time and he just waved me on because he was like, I'm going to take forever. I'm going to go so slow, just go ahead and we'll meet up ahead. And so I drove on and then the whole time I'm just like checking in my rearview mirror, like so worried. And it took, so I ended up parking in Ulladulla, like from Nowra to Ulladulla, and then I stopped there for like 20 minutes before he finally arrived.
Stressful.
Very
but
stressful.
He'll get so good at driving.
The most stressful part was actually all the bridges. Because they're so enclosed and he didn't know how it would feel like with oncoming traffic because it was getting into peak hour traffic. But then also we didn't end up coming back here until nighttime. And so there was another really like tight little bridge up around our area that he was really nervous about. And he managed fine. It's just a matter of slowing down and just realizing that, you know, don't worry about everyone else around you. You just need to get yourself from A to B and do it safely.
He did well.
That pressure. He did so well. It was so funny watching back the footage because he was just like, he was so nervous and then it was fine. And so he'd be like celebrating like, yes, I did it.
So cute.
It was great. No, it's so exciting to, as I said, build out this bus the way that we want and then be able to, you know, go all over Australia. Like just imagining all the experiences, all the learning that we're going to have from this and just how much stronger our relationship has become from building this together, but then also being able to do this once in a lifetime experience and, hey, it could be more than once in a lifetime if our bus keeps moving.
Exactly. No, it's really, really inspirational and definitely I feel like you will inspire a lot of other people with sharing your journey.
Nicely.
Yeah. I'm very excited to follow along. And yeah, you do have, you're starting to like plan the journey. So if, cause you're, you know, getting in contact with your audience about whether or not you can stay on their land. Mm-hmm. So if you do have land available,
yeah,
definitely let Diane know.
Yeah, we actually have a map of Australia that we've built up, so you can actually add a pin to it, so that if you want to host the bus, you can, or if you just want to organise a meetup in the area. I know a lot of people have communicated with me that they don't have really big homesteading communities in their areas, or they're not sure if they do or not. So I think this is just going to be a really great way to kind of unite people in different communities. And if we're the excuse that makes that happen, it's just really like, it's really heartwarming to be able to provide that for others. But yeah, even if we just get to meet people along the way and just see a lot of different places, because that map not only has like the host pins and the meetup pins, but there's also like points of interest, so that, you know, like I know that the best places that I've ever traveled to have always been locally suggested to me.
Like local knowledge is the best.
Isn't it? And so I'm just hoping that people are kind enough to share that with us, so that we can see the best that our country has for us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So excited.
Exciting.
It's coming along quick. Hopefully we can do another episode like this in 10 months' time, and I can be like, these were all the challenges and all the successes of the bus. This is what we did and didn't do.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to change so much, even in just like a few months.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we're about to frame it.
Yeah.
Like, I think once we put the framing all through the ceiling and the walls, and then the walls go up, like, and that becomes an enclosed space, it'll just transform.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be awesome. So let us know if you do have any questions for Diane on building a bus and what that's like. Yeah. I feel like you're going to have so much knowledge that you can, like, put together to hand out to people. Yeah. And, yeah, it'll be really useful.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've gotten a lot of knowledge from other YouTube videos and people in the community as well on Instagram. So it'll be nice to give back a little bit as we learn more.
All
right. Awesome. I guess with that, we'll
wrap it up. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening / watching. We do have a YouTube channel, so that's why we say watching if you're listening to this on like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So yeah, we do have the YouTube channel where you can comment, let us know what episodes you'd like to see, what topics we can discuss. We also have on any podcasting app that you listen to, you can give us a rating and give us some feedback. We would really appreciate that. Yeah.
And also a Buy Me a Coffee page, so that if you would like to support us monetarily, you can do that as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.